please stand for the flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May we have the roll call?
Councilmember Deedy?
Here.
Councilmember Oglesby?
Here.
Councilmember Edelman?
She has been excused.
Councilmember Stout?
She has been excused.
Councilmember Wisnowski?
Here.
Councilmember Nelson?
Here.
Councilmember Page?
He has been excused. So our town hall meeting is an open mic, and if you want to come forward and if you want to raise your hand and come forward and speak to council, you come sit at the table. Carolyn.
Okay. Carolyn Harp.
Can you hear me now? Carolyn Harp, Black Diamond. And I have a question. We're talking about the fire station we need now and the fire truck we need now and such. I'm wondering, when are we going to be needing fire stations for the MPDs?
I don't remember what the timing on that is.
Yeah, it's probably based on the number of houses
it's,
or something.
Yeah, so it's a long time in the future.
So it might
because,
be years and years, and we don't have to worry, like more than the levy would before even.
Right,
so,
yeah. It's a long time away.
Yeah. Okay, just wondering.
So what's happening is Oak Point has decided that this fire station that we're putting up in Lawson Hills, mm-hmm. instead of putting it in the development so that we will cover both sides of town. So
okay.
they have generously offered to do the fire station early.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I see. So that's...
Yeah, so they're helping with the funding of the fire
arrangement
station.
Arrangement with that, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so we don't have to worry about the other... And staffing them and so forth.
Yes, yeah. That's going to come, yes.
Yeah, but that's probably more than 6 years down the road or so.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, that's just curious.
Sure. Is there anybody else wishing? Jana?
Hello, Mayor, Councilmember Jana Thompson, Black Diamond. So at the forum the other day, one of the topics that someone wrote in a question about was about the school district mitigation fees. And so I was honestly really surprised to hear that hadn't been resolved. I know it had been kind of kicking around with the city for a while, and I was really surprised to hear that the city had not adopted a mitigation fee that's been requested from the Enumclaw School District. So I contacted the superintendent at the Enumclaw School District and did a public records request today and to kind of find out, you know, what was the history of that on their end, because I thought this was a great time, you know, with the town hall meeting just to kind of understand what was going on with that from your perspective also, so that I can just kind of know what's happening. As you all kind of know, I've been really invested in the Enumclaw School District for a long time and the success of the district through the Schools Foundation, as well as co-chairing the bond that got the elementary school built and revitalized two-thirds of the high school. So I'm just really invested in the district and kind of wondering what's happening with this whole piece.
Well, it's in the attorney's hands right now. So we have four school districts, and you can't adopt an impact fee without doing it the same for all four school districts.
Okay.
So then the other thing that we have to address for the impact fees are we're going to have reductions in those impact fees based on senior citizens and low income. And so we're working on a document that will cover all of those exemptions, because we will have exemptions for either not having to pay it or paying a lesser amount, and for how much the impact fees, if it's just two houses or somebody subdividing, if they would be paying the impact fees. So we are working on a document right now that fits our city and I assume that that's going to be done fairly soon for me to review it, but it hasn't gone to council. It hasn't gone to anybody else who's not looked at it yet. So it's basically in the hands of the attorney right now.
So do you have some kind of timing around when you think this will come to the council?
Well, probably around January, I would think.
Okay, so early next year.
Yes.
And at that point, you'll have like four new council members, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
correct.
I don't know. If they need to kind of hear more from the superintendent or, you know, get more background or anything. But I wouldn't want that to hold up the process.
Oh, that would never hold it up.
Yeah.
Once we get that, we will have a work study with the attorney, with all the council, and explain how that works.
Okay, great. So it's in process, and you expect to be approving it within the next 6 months or so anyway. Okay, well, that's good to know, because I know, you know, it's not just the Enumclaw School District that gets affected. It's, you know, everyone that's impacted by, exactly. And there is construction happening all over this city, and the point of which the impact fees happen is very, very early on in building a house, right? Is when they first are filing for those permits, and it's a lost income stream for those school districts as soon as those houses start being built. So,
but the 10 trails, they collect. They're already collected.
Correct. And that's
so
my
understanding. So there isn't a whole lot of infill going on. There has been some in the past, but there's not a whole lot of infill going on right now.
Well, I mean, just driving around Black Diamond, you can see where there's houses going up and small developments.
But if we have exemptions for two or three or four, because that's what other cities do, then those wouldn't impact the fee anyway.
I'm not following what you're saying.
Okay, so if we decide, which we haven't decided yet, that if you build two houses or three houses or four houses, you will be exempt from paying the impact fee. So mm-hmm. we haven't figured out what that number is going to be, but other cities do that. They exempt small developments from having to pay the impact fee. So we haven't figured that number out yet, but once we do that, we'll probably know. But some of those developments that are going on right now that are building two or three houses probably would be exempt.
Well, I really hope you'll consider that carefully, because some of those houses that you're talking about might be single family houses that are bringing in two or three or four kids into our school district. And the point of this stream of money is to be prepared for those kids to hit the school, so that as we're getting more and more kids in the school, the school needs to plan for and be prepared for. So this creates some funds that they can add portables, they can make sure that there's classrooms available, or, you know, I don't know, chairs and tables. They're quite restricted to what they can do with it, but it's about being prepared for incoming children. So you don't want to exempt houses that are bringing children, because we have talked a lot in these council chambers about growth paying for growth. And that's not just big developers. It is every house contributes to the overall health of this community, which is fire departments and schools, in every revenue source that you can. So
it would be interesting for all council and the mayor, when we have work study, I'm assuming we're going to have a work study, we have to sit down and talk about all this. That, for me, it would be good. I like to look at what other cities are doing. So like mm-hmm. what does Enumclaw do? Do they make
right.
everybody pay, or do they do that as well? You know, what does King County do? What does everybody do? So I think, you know, for me, it's good to compare and kind of look and say, okay, we can be here in the medium part, or we can go to the high part. You know, what do we want to charge our residents on this? I don't think there's anybody at the council that doesn't support the school districts, whether it be Enumclaw, Offord, Tahoma, or Kent.
Mm-hmm.
We all have had kids that gone through there, and we're all very supportive and try to, you know, support in any way that we can, just as citizens here. So I, for one, would totally support doing this. I just need all the facts and know to know where what's going to be the best, and also to have citizen input, you know. So, So I'm looking forward to the work study and moving forward with that.
All right, great. Well, thank you for the update. I really appreciate it. And then I'll just watch for the work study later and stay abreast of the issue. Okay, thank you.
Is there anybody else wishing to address the council? Ula.
I'm Ula Kemen from Black Diamond. And I know that last night there was a zoning meeting. Am I right about that, or two nights ago?
Tuesday night, there were a planning commission meeting.
Okay. And they talked about the zoning for the PCC property. And I've heard different things about it, that whether it's going to be changed, rezoned for residential and multi-unit dwellings, or whether it's going to stay the way it is. And some, you know, there's been a little rumor going through the little Lake Sawyer, or I think there's a website, and different people are interested in exactly what is happening.
So the rezone is based on the comp plan that has been appealed.
Okay.
So the comp plan that was approved by the city council, the rezone was to match the comp plan.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a rezone going back to what it used to be when it was zoned. There was one area that was zoned as MPD and went back to just residential, and mm-hmm. there were some other areas that got changed at some point in time, and we were just trying to put them back the way they originally were. So there is no, if you were to look at the maps that were out there before and mm-hmm. what is happening now, they're trying to match the comp plan, and it's not going to, there's no increase of residential, no increase of numbers of units.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, there's probably some less. And then some of it that was, what was it zoned? It was zoned as, anyway, they want it to be, instead of commercial, they want it to be community commercial, so that it's small stores or businesses mm-hmm. within the community. So it's actually a down zone rather than an up zone. But Barb is going to put everything together from the meeting on Tuesday night
mm-hmm.
and all the questions that came up, and she's going to put, this is what the facts are, this is what we're doing. And if people object to doing it according to the comp plan, we can just leave the plan the way it is if mm-hmm. we get a lot of objections. But actually going to what the comp plan is actually less density than it's going to be if we rezone it, so, or from what it was before, so.
Okay, so it's really kind of staying the same.
Yeah, there isn't any increase in density.
What I understand with Barb this morning is that, in my conversation with her yesterday, is that along Highway 169, the zone mm-hmm. is going to be consistent all the way through that Highway 169, which is
commercial.
Like commercial and like residential, which was originally what it was zoned for a long time before it was zoned differently. So it's just being consistent all the way through that Highway 169.
Why was it zoned differently? Why?
Wasn't there a large watering company?
Oh, yeah. Nestle's wanted to come in.
That's right. I remember
and
that.
Build
Nestle's
a plant.
Right.
And so that was going to be a higher density because of a plant. It was going to be a plant.
Okay.
And
thanks.
One of the things also, talk to Park, because also one of the rumored things going around that there's apartments that are going to go all up and down in that place.
Okay. All right. Okay. Good. Thanks.
Okay.
It's amazing. I'm really good spread. I love Facebook.
Is there anybody else that would wish to address council? Kristen?
Good evening, council, mayor. My name is Kristen Bryant. I wanted to ask about a couple of things.
You live?
Yes.
You live where?
If from now on, when Colin or someone from Oak Point Communities gets up, you will make them say their city of residence and not just Oak Point Communities.
It happens
every time one of them gets up. They just say Oak Point Communities, but they don't say their city of residence. But I live in Bellevue, and I grew up in Black Diamond. And so that's three things I guess I'll address. That one's out of the way. One of the things I want to talk about is I'm speaking on behalf of the group that filed the appeal of the comprehensive plan to the Growth Management Hearings Board. We're pleased that the city and staff have taken some steps that address some of the issues that were in the appeal. For example, there's a comp plan docket under consideration that places back some of the policies that were actually removed from the May version, and that's at was part of the hearing Tuesday night. And that's a good change, because those the issue that we filed on was that those changes weren't available to the public to see. They just showed up. So that was a real problem, because everyone should get a chance to see the draft and any changes before it's passed. There was also a summary of comments that as just came up or being prepared for this current review of the comprehensive plan. And that was another one of the issues going back to last year, was there was no record of what had happened to everyone's comments. And I know people take a lot of time out of their life to try to read part of the comp plan, which is, you know, not something that most people do every day, and not something you guys probably did much of before you were on council. And then to prepare comments, people really do want to know that they've been at least considered. I guess the reason I bring this up is because I think, you know, there are a few additional issues, and perhaps we can work towards a good outcome for all parties. Certainly not ideal to have to go through an appeal process to make sure that the public is heard and that the outcome is all according to the state and local public participation plan and process. So, you know, we're definitely interested in working towards the best outcome on that appeal. Like I said, for the city and the city government and the people that commented on the comprehensive plan. I'll pause there. I don't know if there's any dialogue that anyone wants to, you know, just if I didn't explain anything clearly about what we saw Tuesday night or anything. The other question, with regard to the comprehensive plan and the land use map, it sounds like there, you know, like I said, there are additional issues. It's really great to see a start on some of them. There's an issue regarding the land use map, and it sounds like there is still some confusion on exactly what that change really is, where it, what the zoning was, what it might be. So, like I said, as the appeal group, we're really open to talking about that, but it does sound like it really bears more examination of where it's at in the process right now. Doesn't sound like, you know, there are a lot of questions about what zoning changes are going on, and that all relates back to this comprehensive plan. If there's no other dialogue, I have a second topic. I sent an email to the council and the mayor, and I had inquired about the status of the city's hearing examiner. I'm wondering if there's any update on the hearing examiner that had been appointed for 10 years I'm not trying to remember exactly when it started, but is no longer the hearing examiner, and I'd kind of ask about when there would be a new hearing examiner, where you guys, if there's any update on that process for finding the next examiner.
We're looking, it's an administrative for a pro tem, it's an administrative decision.
Okay.
And so we are looking at some people, and we will probably do interviews next week and pick someone to become the pro tem hearing examiner so that the appeal can move forward.
Okay. And have you given any consideration to the proposal that the examiner who fills in the pro tem role, because I understand that it does need to be filled quickly, it doesn't have time to go through a whole council process, but whether that examiner would be considered for the full-time role, or as we had proposed, that if they're going to act in the role of pro tem, so that the outcome of the case doesn't affect which examiner is chosen for the long term, that they would be the pro tem without applying for the full-time long-term role.
Well, we aren't going to exempt a pro tem from applying for the full-time, but we're not going to talk to them about being a full-time hearing examiner before this appeal is completed.
Yeah, and we were hoping that the process would be that there would they would understand that wasn't a role for consideration, that they were only doing the pro tem, because then whichever way the case goes, it doesn't affect. There's no chance that that's a factor in how the long-term examiner is chosen.
We're not going to discuss with them the long-term role. All we're going to discuss is the pro tem role. We're
Which
not
leaves...
going to exclude them from future applying when we advertise.
Okay. So the concern about that is that it leaves room for considering the ruling, which is really supposed to be on the merits of the case, but it leaves considering how they decide as a factor in whether they are chosen for the long term. And I had included a court case in my email about why that is problematic. So,
well, I believe the hearing examiners have to have a code of ethic. They are attorneys. So I would believe that, let's hope that they had a code of ethics that wouldn't have them favor one side or the other.
And I would certainly agree that they would try not to, and that they would say that they don't. The court case I referred to was the one where they said that cities had shown a pattern of choosing examiners that sided with the city government more often, and the ones who ruled on behalf of those who filed appeals were less likely to get work with some cities. And so that's why I thought, well, we could just eliminate that entirely if the pro tem was separate from the long term.
Well, we're not going to do that, so.
Well, that's all I wanted to discuss.
Thank you. Is there anybody else wishing to address council? Bill?
You guys can have a race.
I'm Bill Bryant, and I live in Black Diamond on 25100 Roberts Drive. And, you know, I got a little bit of property in this town, but with all the development, the taxes keep going up. And so it's kind of closing me down. I don't know if I'll ever leave, but I don't plan to. But what I'd like to know is on this rezone that they think they want to do for these properties, you say that you're just rezoning them back to what they were, okay? If that's what you're doing, what was the zoning of all the property that Oak Point or whoever it is that's doing all this development. What was that before?
I don't know. I think most of it was maybe residential, but I don't know.
Okay.
I don't have an answer for that.
It looks to me like that we should leave it like it is right now until Oak Point gets everything developed and all done. It's because if we do this rezone, we automatically give some people the ability to build more houses. And we are at the point where we're drowning ourselves in houses, I think, or residences. And especially when Oak Point is building them, I don't know, what are they, 10 feet apart, two stories? I when I came home tonight, I drive by Diamond Glen all the time. And Diamond Glen, the people got a little bit more room. Why couldn't there be a part of Oak Point that would give the residences a little bit of a yard rather than living in a, what do you call it, an apartment? That's basically what they're living in. They can't, there's really no room to move. And if they're all there, the roads won't take it. And when I came home for the meeting on Tuesday, I don't know, I guess it's a state, I think it's 288 down there, coming into Black Diamond. The state improved the road there so that they wouldn't have any wrecks or anything. Guess what? There's another wreck there. And what they did didn't work, I don't think, that well, because there's too many cars on the road. With the development that we have, this is way off the record, I think, we don't need any more traffic circles. We need lights to stop people because they don't stop in traffic circles. They just keep going. And the traffic circles that we have are pretty small. That has nothing really to do with it. I mean, we can probably get by with small traffic circles, but a traffic circle on 169 doesn't sound right.
You could talk to the state about that. That's not our choice. It's a state highway.
That's what they want.
That's their state mandate.
Well, who told the state that that's what they want?
The state said that's what they want.
The state told us that's what they want.
They did?
Yeah. Yes, absolutely.
How big of a traffic circle are you going to get?
Well, we're hoping for a two-lane.
Yeah, you need a two-lane at least if you're going to get one. But they're still confusing to drive in for a lot of people because some people think you can just fly by everybody in them.
Yeah, that takes some getting used to. I'm still convinced that some state traffic engineer had a European vacation and felt lonely.
Yeah, I mean, when I grew up,
they're building them everywhere. I found it. I was driving up 97 over in Oroville or wherever it is over there, and there's a bunch of Apple storage houses and a traffic circle in the middle of Highway 97. I'm just like,
mm-hmm. But how many residences did you see around there?
Well, it's not. It's all Apple country up there.
Yeah, see, all the apples were living up there, right?
Well, no, those are big trucks going through that traffic circle. That's what I was like.
But they still have to slow down to 20 or 25 miles an hour.
Yeah, but I'm just saying that the traffic circles, not just Black Diamond's getting traffic circles. States go from everywhere.
Okay.
Mr. Bryant, to your comment regarding those houses and 10 trails being so close together, no yards, living on top of each other, and how desirable that is, my personal opinion, it's very desirable for the families that are living in that development. Personal families come and are looking for those type of communities to live in because that's what they choose to live in. We, you, or anybody else that chooses to live in a property that has land or has more space around it is a personal choice. So for you, my personal opinion, those houses are desirable for the right person, for the right community, and for the right families that want to raise their children in those tight communities. They don't want the yard. They don't want the maintenance.
Why don't we just build apartments then?
Well, and there will be apartments in 10 trails. Yes, there will be high-end apartments there for those families that can would like to choose to live in those apartments.
How much are those houses?
You know, I imagine they're a pretty penny nowadays. But you know what? People make decisions to choose how much they want to spend for their pretty penny of that house. So as for myself, I have every choice to choose how I live and where I live and the environment that I want to live in and how comfortable I am. So
as much as 10 trails is a burden on this community, I hear that a lot when it comes to traffic, but those families are just as important to this community as the current residents and the past residents of this community. So I hear you saying you have your opinion on those tight houses and how they're built. That's your personal opinion, but they are perfect for the perfect family that we're buying them at this time.
Okay. Okay, the only thing is they're charging a lot of money for not much.
Well, and that's the customer's choice to spend their money on the house that they want.
I will say that three of my friends have bought houses in there, and they like the bigger house and smaller yard because houses are bigger. And they like the fact that they can raise their family in a community that is like Black Diamond, but also don't want to have to do the – they want to have a house but not to do all the lawn mowing and maintenance and raise their kids where when it rains they can be inside and have a big house.
Yeah, but they're inside all the time.
But the thing is this is –
not
this
in the community of 10 trails. There's a lot of trails that they use the sidewalks and the parks and the environments that surround it.
This was their choice. They sought after that environment and moved there because they love the opportunity. And so I understand having land. I've got property in Montana. But I live in Black Diamond on a smaller piece of property, and I choose to do that. And so when, like, my best friend moved in there, he was so excited to be able to have the bigger house in Black Diamond because he loves Black Diamond and doesn't want to have to mow a quarter acre, half acre. He likes to wear him and his wife and his kid, a little place for the dog to run in the backyard. The house is close together, but he knows his neighbors, and they're all friends. So it's part of the culture of Black Diamond is to be community. So.
Well, like Diamond Glen, I don't know how many houses are on an acre down there. I was going to drive around, but I didn't have time to look. But I've been in there and looked. And I don't know. I'm thinking that maybe, it might be. They might be on quarter acre. They might be. Maybe four houses to an acre. I don't know. You're going to laugh at this. Is I moved into my house, and I paid $10,000. I wasn't finished, but I moved in. I know you wouldn't let me do that today, but it's always been paid for. And I know people don't live like that anymore. I understand that. But all I'm saying is, why can't we have some houses that are not so expensive? I bet some of the people would really appreciate it. Okay? That's what I'm saying. Why can't we have some that are not so expensive? Because I'll bet every one of them houses down there is over $300,000. It's probably between three and four, right? And how many years is it going to take them to pay for it?
My first house I bought in upstate New York was $65,000 on a double lot. When I moved out here, I was surprised at the property values out here.
Yeah. Okay, the other thing is you know, what is it going to take to stop this rezone? Because we do need light industrial, and it's already there, so why don't we just leave it there and develop what we got with the houses that we have, and then let the light industrial develop so that, you know, we get some business along with the houses. Why don't we do that? If we take the light industrial and change it to residential, which we're doing on this up
commercial residential is what they're looking at, right?
Yeah.
Right. So there'll be jobs there. There'll be people working, right? There'll be stores.
Maybe.
Well,
in
think
time.
About it this way, right? With commercial space comes sales tax money, and that helps fund the things that everybody in the city
but
wants.
But you get
to
it with light industrial too. They can still have a commercial building on a light industrial.
Yeah, but we don't get as much sales tax from a light industrial.
Okay. Then why don't we increase our impact fees then? So we don't need to get all that money there. Or we could get it another way.
But impact fees are a short-term thing. So
I know.
Impact fees happen at the time of development. Sales tax is an ongoing thing. Right, sales tax, increasing our sales tax base is what a city needs to do for the long term.
But I think
increasing impact fees only is effective for the time of those developments, right? So when we're all full, right, or when we're at a point where, you know, we don't have much more development going on, those impact fees go away.
But how long is that going to be, 10 years?
Yeah, but I plan on living here more than 10 years. I hope the city still has budget money in 12 years, right? So the sales tax, increasing the availability of sales tax income is a long-term play for a city, whereas impact fees is a short-term play.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then if we're changing it, if we go to residential and what is it, light industrial that you want? Does anybody know and figured out how many more houses it's going to allow the builders to build in that area?
Well, also a lot of builders like to see that around them as houses, as customers that are coming in. So if you zone an area for light industrial with residential, it could possibly bring in more people to look at that area to put their business versus something out in Norland that doesn't have very much retail or homes around and attract people to their business. So.
But you just said light industrial next to the homes. That's what you have already. So why not just leave it at that?
Around that area. So
you got them there already. You got them there already.
Are you talking about Highway 16 along Highway 169?
So you have
that. You've got it there. You've got some light industrial there. I think that electrical company is light industrial, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Commercial.
It's commercial. Okay. Well.
But there isn't a whole lot of.
And then on the other side, there was that mechanics shop. I know it isn't much, but it's there. Okay, you don't like that, but it's there. There's a gas station.
Anybody's ever said, I think lots of people like.
There's a gas station. There's a gas station. There's a convenience store, a pizza place. There's and those are commercial, aren't they? Kind of.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Well, see, you already got them coming there. Okay. So you're going to get your fees. I want to keep the zoning the same, and I just want to know what is it going to take to convince the city to leave it like it is right now until we get further along on this program.
And you went to the planning commission meeting.
Yeah,
and
I did.
You voiced your opinion.
I did. Yeah, I even turned them in a letter.
So
I want you to look at my letter.
I would appreciate it. And they'll discuss all the comments that came in, and then they'll bring forward a recommendation to the council. And then we've also heard your testimony and those testimonies that come from the planning commission, and then we'll look at and either agree or disagree with the planning commission.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So what are you going to do with my taxes, being I'm a elder, or whatever you call it. I'm should be retired. I'm 76 years old. Are you going to cut my taxes in half, or are you going to raise them?
Well, you can go to King County. We don't have anything to do with that. You can go to King County if you want to make a deal with.
They won't do anything.
Hey, Gavin, we'll go home tonight.
Okay, I'm going to go home. I'm done.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.
Please do like I say and leave it like it is for now. Okay?
So, Gary, did you want
to? Yeah. There's one thing that really hasn't been touched that needs to be.
Okay, Gary Davis, Black Diamond. One thing that I wanted to point out is that as regards discussing the rezone, we've got a member on the council who owns property in the rezone area, and by the rules that are established for the Planning Commission, should be abstaining from any involvement in that whatsoever. And he was there for the entire meeting last night.
On the Planning Commission?
On the Planning Commission.
Voluntary.
Yeah, but I'm saying the rules in place mm-hmm. for being on the Planning Commission.
So you're saying an individual in this community owns a business
Right.
He owns property that's going to be changed if it reused.
Say, I own a property. Anybody can own property or own a business or a career in their life.
I'm going by the rules that are already established, and they're not following them. That's the only point I wanted to make.
So are you saying that there's a member of the Planning Commission who has an interest in the decision of the Planning Commission?
Correct.
They have not abstained or whatever?
Recused.
Thank you.
He is going to recuse himself. He's already said he was going to recuse.
Okay, it's just...
Because they haven't made any decisions yet, right?
Yeah, the thing is, he should not have participated at all, the way the rules are written.
They do not make a decision. They forward it to us to make a decision. So really,
I'm just going by what's there.
He's going to recuse himself.
Okay, but I mean, still, should not have been involved previous.
And did you share that last night to the Planning Commission?
Several people did.
Okay. Then it sounds like it was heard very clearly then, if he's excusing himself.
But again, as I said, the way most people read that, he should have just left and not participated in the event. And that needed to be made part of the record with the City Council. Thank you.
And have something come before the council, and let's just say it would benefit me at the beginning of the conversation of that. I would have recused myself and either stepped out of the room or stayed there. So I agree with what you're saying.
There was one last thing. This was pointed out to Commissioner McCain, and she said, we're not making any decisions tonight. She basically made an excuse. We need to have the new people in here exposed to all of this. But again, the way the rule is written, it's not, that type of allowance is not made. It's just you're supposed to leave. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah. Now, if I can get my coat untangled. There we go.
Is there anyone else wishing to address council? So, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I move we adjourn.
A second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.